every member of Oliver that our worship, just happy to be able to be together, fellowship together, and worship God together. We're glad to have several visitors with us this morning. If you are not a member of the Church of Christ, we are especially happy that you've chosen to be with us today. The Church of Christ, we're seeking to restore New Testament Christianity. Do Bible things in Bible ways, call Bible things by Bible names. We're not seeking to be a new denomination. We're not seeking to be any denomination, but simply New Testament Christians. Practice and believe what they did in the New Testament and be the New Testament church. If you have questions, we'd be glad to answer your questions and sit down and study with you. If you need prayer or particular need in your life, we'd be glad to sit down and pray with you. If you need counsel in any way that we can help you, just let us know. We'd be glad to meet with you here or at your home, however it's convenient for you. But we just want to help everyone go to heaven. That's our goal. And we're glad that you're with us this morning. Let's begin with, first of all, a little matter I need to take care of. In the class, I was talking about if a Catholic priest came by and gave material on abortion, and I left a word out of that next sentence, and I said, then I could preach about abortion. I didn't mean to let the Catholic priest get up and preach about abortion. And so I need to straighten that out, that if they came back and gave me some biblical material about abortion, and even though it was written by a Catholic priest, I could then take that material and I could preach it if it is in harmony with God's word. I didn't mean to leave the impression with anybody that I would let a priest get up and preach on that or any other topic. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of the day. We thank you for all that you give us. Thank you that we can meet together and worship. Thank you for this congregation, which has been here for many, many years. And for all those that have been a part of it, as members, deacons, elders, preachers, all those that have supported the work and the works that we have supported through the years and missions throughout this country and throughout the world. Bless us, Father, this morning in our worship. Bless your people as they meet all over the world today. Some have already met, some will be meeting in the next few hours. Help us all to remember, Father, that we are one family, we are one brotherhood. We offer our prayer in Jesus' name, and amen. Before scripture reading this morning, I want to turn over to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Begin at verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ. When I was in college and in graduate school, on several occasions I heard studies about the problems in marriage. And in these lessons, I would usually say that there were three main problems in marriage, that since statistics have been kept about problems in marriages, and psychologists and others who had studied it said that there were three main problems. One was sex, one was money, and one was religion. And it would depend on who you listened to, which one said which was the number one problem. In other words, doctors might say sex is the number one problem, preachers might say religion is the number one problem, and others might arrange it different ways. It seemed like there was always agreement, though, you know, even though there was disagreement about what was the number one problem, there was agreement about what was the number four. The number four problem was always in-laws. In-laws was the number four problem affecting marriages. Well, that was probably true for a long period of time, but in the 1970s, people started studying marriage a little bit more critically, looking at it, asking different questions, and all of a sudden, many of the studies came out that there was a number one problem that was behind all these other problems because in marriage, that number one problem was the idea of communication. That there was a lack of communication in marriages in America. Now, nobody is, it's no surprise to anybody that there is a major problem with the marriages in our country. And for many years, there have been stores where you could go and you could rent a wedding dress. And a lot of brides thought this was good. I don't have to spend an enormous amount of money. I'll just go find the dress at that store, rent it, because I'm only going to wear it one day. And don't ever try to get married again. I'll turn it back to the store. And that's been something people have known about and had for a very long time. There was a store, though, out in Los Angeles that struck on an idea along with that. And they had the idea of renting wedding rings. That you go to the store, there's a jeweler, and he just said, you just pick out the rings that you want for the man and the woman, and you rent the rings for the day, you have it for the wedding, and within a certain period of time, you bring the rented rings back to the store. You don't buy them, you just rent them for the day, but you're not going to use them throughout your life. You're probably going to get divorced and remarried, and so you just rent the rings. That whole idea of temporary nature of marriage goes against what God has said. God really means for marriage to be permanent. God wants people to be married for life. It is to be a happy arrangement, to be sure. And I'm well aware of the fact that in our congregation, we have a lot of different situations. We have people that have never been married. We have people who have been married and divorced. We have several, quite a few that are married and were married and are now widows. At one time, I think we had 5 widowers in our congregation. We don't have that now, but at one time we had quite a few men here whose wives had died. We have all kinds of situations with them getting married couples. But today I do want to talk about this idea of communication. God communicates. He said that we are to communicate. We're to speak the truth in love. And sometimes we just say, well, the problem's really in communication. It comes down to 3 different ideas. So it's either too little, too much, or it's too loud. And I think that that could be the case. It is absolutely necessary if you're going to have a successful marriage. Henry David Thoreau wrote that communication is another way of saying, I love you. Francis of Assisi, a long time ago, said, Lord, grant that I may seek more to be understanding than to be understood. And I think he had it right there. There seems to be 2 extremes when it comes to communication. Women, on one hand, would say, well, he ought to know how I feel. I don't need to tell him how I feel. He ought to know how I feel. Well, that's just not biblical. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, what man knows the things of another man save the spirit of that man himself? How does the husband know what the wife is thinking? Some women have the idea he ought to know. Well, how does he know unless you tell him? He just ought to know. That's one extreme. Now, the other extreme is taken by some men on the other side of this thing. And some men will just say, well, I just don't talk much. She wants me to talk, and I'm just not a talker. I just don't talk. Well, suppose she said, I just don't cook. How would that be? Suppose she said, I just don't wash clothes. Suppose she just said something like that. Would that excuse be acceptable? Of course not. And so a man who says, I'm just not a talker, is really just making an excuse. Now, communication is not just the giving of information. Unfortunately, some people have that idea that if I give information, I'm communicating. Well, that's a part of it. Information is always a part of communication, but that's not the whole thing. Communication is also dealing with feelings. Communication is also helping the other one make decisions. Communication is also resolving conflicts between man and his wife. Communication also helps cement the relationship between the man and his wife. Now, we also need to be aware of the fact that there is verbal and there's nonverbal communication. Now, when a man goes, what do you mean by this? He is communicating with his arms something that's not very good. Basically, what he's saying is, I've closed my mind and you aren't going to change it for me. That's a nonverbal communication. Sometimes holding hands is a communication of love and sympathy and wanting to talk about the look on someone's face, a gesture that someone might make. All that is communication, and we need to be aware of it. Now, the foundations for Christian communication are very, very unique, and they are important. First of all, it is the idea of attitude. When Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, and he said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, think on these things is a real good blueprint for the relationship in marriage. Now, I realize that some of these things about communication will apply whether you're talking about communication in marriage, communication in a congregation, in your work, in a community, in a country. There are a lot of things, but particularly in regard to a marriage. Think on these things, as Paul said. Sometimes in wedding ceremonies, I will read that verse and say, I would encourage you to think on these things today. And I'd say, probably the bride and groom are thinking about these things right now. They think about the things that are true and just and pure and lovely and good report. Think on this today. And I would encourage them that in the future, when you get upset with one another, and you will, when you get bothered by something the other one's doing or saying or something that they have done, you think about these things. You think about the things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. You think about those things about the person instead of saying he's selfish or he's this or he's that. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 4 and said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and speaking and evil speaking be put away from you. Now, while Paul gave that instruction as a general statement in life, how much more does that apply in a marriage? That the attitude of having a tender-hearted, forgiving, kind attitude towards one another. We need to think about that before anything else, that the attitude is so important. Now, there are bad attitudes when it comes to communication. The idea of someone is always critical. Some husband or wife could say, well, I just knew you would blow it. I just knew that you just couldn't do it. Or someone might say, you always mess up. What's that really say? Is that good communication? No. Or when someone is so blunt and hurtful with the shame, and the person says, well, I'm just being honest. He's just a fool. And I'm just being honest. Well, it's more than being a fool, than being honest, you're being cruel. People have often had the idea of bluntness and harshness and cruelty and covered it with saying, I'm just being honest. Well, you can be honest and express it in a more Christ-like way. Sometimes people are insensitive in their communication. Sometimes they might make a comment about the other person about some ability that they have or they don't have or some particular aspect of it. Maybe they had large ears or a large nose or whatever it might be. The other person is insensitive, is very sensitive about that particular thing. We had a lady here, everybody, Oliver remembers a sister we had here named Martha Garrett. Sweet, wonderful, wonderful sister in Christ. Generous to a fault, just could give and give and give and give some more. Teacher, wonderful person. Once I made a statement about being very careful what you say about somebody, about their weight. Now, if you've never had a problem with weight, and you make fun of somebody that has a weight problem, how much it would hurt. And I didn't think Martha had a weight problem. She wasn't that big. But previously in her life, before we moved here, before we knew her, she did have a weight problem. And she said, David, I just wanted to say I appreciated what you had to say about that, because you don't know how much it hurts when you've got a weight problem and somebody makes some joke about fat people. Says what that does to your heart, what that does to your life, and to your self-image. And I said, well, Martha, you don't have a weight problem. She said, I don't now, but I did for many, many years. When I was a child, I had it. When I was growing up, I had it. When I was a young woman, I had it. So, and it just, people don't realize how much they can hurt somebody by being insensitive. And that's what happens in life. With our communication, we need to be affirming. We need to be supportive. We need to be somebody that says, look, I just want you to know that I want the best for you and I'm going to support you in everything that you do. Proverbs 12:25, the Bible says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. And husbands and wives need to make sure they give their spouses a good word. We need to focus on each other's strengths in life. And what is the strong point about this one? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, love thinketh no evil. And with the opposite of that means love thinks about the good. And so we need to focus on that good of that person. What is the best that I can say about that person? I read a story one time about a man named Johnny Lingo. He lived out in one of the Polynesian islands. And I forget which one it was. But anyway, they had a part of their culture that when a man wanted to marry a woman, he would go to the father of this woman, and he would offer something as kind of a dowry to the father of this particular woman. And he might come and he might say, I've got 10 chickens. Or he might say, I've got 3 goats. Or if he really, really loved this lady and she thought that she was the best thing in the world, he'd say, I've got a goat and a cow. And the women in that island that were really particularly beautiful, a man might come to the father of that lady and say, look, I've got 2 cows for your daughter. I will give you 2 cows if you let me marry your daughter. Anyway, there was a man on that island who had a daughter. And people made fun of her. She was not very pretty. She walked kind of stooped over. She had no talents, no abilities. People just laughed at her wherever she walked down the street. They talked about her all the way. Anyway, one day a man walks into that village. His name was Johnny Lingo. And he says, I'm looking for a wife. And of course, when a man says, I'm looking for a wife, you know, all the women kind of get dressed up. They put on the best thing they have. They walk out and parade themselves around in front of this guy. And he's looking around and he notices this lady over there. The one that they all made fun of. The one that they all laughed. It wouldn't have anything to do with him. He said, who's the father of that lady? And they told him who it was. And he goes and finds this man. He says, I would like to marry your daughter. The man thought nobody would ever marry his daughter. And he said, well, what will you give me for her? Expecting maybe John Ringo would say, oh, I'll give you 2 chickens for her, or maybe 1 chicken for her. So Johnny Ringo says, I will give you 8 cows for your dog. 8 cows? He didn't have to think about that one twice. Yes, of course you're going to marry my daughter. I'd love to have you marry my daughter. That, welcome to the family. So Johnny Lingo brought out the 8 cows, gave them to the man, had the wedding ceremony, took this woman back to his village. A year later, this lady decides to go home and visit Mama and Daddy. So she comes back to that village. And instead of being that plain, ugly woman that nobody liked and nobody thought anything about, she walked down the street. Her head was held high. She just seemed to have a transformation on her face. She looked beautiful. Everybody couldn't believe. They didn't know it was her. They said, who are you? And she said, I'm Johnny Lingo's wife. She went home to see her family. Then Johnny Lingo came to town the next day. They said, what happened? Why did she change? How did you change her? Johnny Lingo just simply said, she knows she's an 8 cow woman. And that's the idea of support. That's the idea of saying, you're the greatest. You're the best. I love you, and I'm going to prove it because I'm going to get 8 cows for you. It may be a box of candy. It may be just a rose. And it may be a small gift of something somebody's always wanted. But it can be the equivalent of 8 cows in support and communication to somebody. Maybe you don't say the very precise words, you're the greatest, but that rose or that candy or whatever it is says, you're worth 8 cows. We need to be saying that. Also, a part of communication is listening. Jesus, on several occasions, said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's really the cornerstone of all communication, listening. Really, really listening. Proverbs 18, verse 13 says, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Someone said God gave you two ears and one mouth, so which one should you use more? Listen before you speak. Listen to the whole thing. Pause and wait. James says we're to be quick to hear, slow to speak. And while, again, that's a general principle in life, we all realize that's what James is saying, that's for life. But how much more is it for marriage? Then in a marriage situation, be swift to hear, quick to hear, and slow to speak. Proverbs 29:20, the scripture says, there's a man that speak who is hasty in his words, there is more hope for a fool than for him. Listen. Then also in communication, you need the idea of validating one another's feelings. How many times has a man said to his wife, you shouldn't feel that way? Instead of saying, you know, I understand why you feel that way. The illustration for this probably is about one of the most common things. Wife is driving down the road, she has a flat tire. She comes home that night, and says to her husband, you'll never believe what happened to me. He'll say, what happened? She said, I had a flat tire out on 72. Now the husband's automatically thinking, what did she do? Did she call AAA? Did she call the garage? Did she call my mother-in-law? Who did she call? What did she do? How did she change that tire? What happened? Was it cut with glass? Was it nailed in? What happened? All those facts that men want to know. Did she get out and try to change the tire? Did she pull off the road and try to do that? What happened? That's not what she needs. She was out on that road, she was by herself, she felt alone, she felt frustrated, she felt, you know, this is something I don't need. The man needs to feel with her that particular situation. Now there's plenty of time for him to find out what happened. Did you run over a nail? Did you run over glass? Was the tire to blow? What happened? Who did you call? All those facts can come along later. But while she's sitting there crying because she had this flat tire and she'd been out on the road by herself, you know, he needs to feel with her. Now, he probably won't start crying, that's true. But he needs to sit there and listen and let her get that emotion out in that particular situation. Now we ask the question, why is it so difficult to listen? First of all, mainly because of selfishness. Proverbs 18:2, the scripture says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but in expressing his own opinions. Sometimes we have problems listening because we just don't care. She may have had a problem, he may have had a problem. We don't care about the problems. We got our own problems. I can't be solving her problem. Let her solve her own problems. I've got my problems. We just don't care. We need to say, is that really what Christ did? Somebody pointed out one time that when you read through the Gospels, look at all the times that Jesus waited. The first time I heard that, I thought, waited? I don't remember hearing that word in Scripture. Then the fellow pointed out and said, look and see what Jesus did. He let people speak. He let people really say what was on their mind. And that principle, again, needs to be applied not only in marriage, but in work and in communities and neighborhoods and time congregations. Let people speak. But also let the wife speak. What does the wife want to hear? Well, she wants to hear certain things. There's some women who say, well, I shouldn't have to ask him certain things. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Sometimes you have to ask. And there's nothing wrong with asking. Paul said in Galatians 6, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. How can I bear your burdens if I don't know what your burdens are? How am I going to know your burdens unless you tell me your burdens? That means spending time with brothers and sisters in Christ, fellowship meals, visiting our homes, doing things together. That's where we really learn about one another and be with one another. And we understand that principle. And if the principle applies in congregations, doesn't it apply all the more in a family relationship, in a husband-wife relationship, parent-child relationship? That there needs to be a time when I really just sit down and say, look, I've got something on my mind. I'm bothered by something. And maybe it's something that we can't do anything about. There may be a situation that there's no way in the world we can do anything about this, but it still bothers me. And we don't realize the fact that just talking that out, just saying, this is happening, this bothers me, it hurts, I don't know what to do about it, I don't have any answers. And sometimes I've said to my wife, she said, you know, we just have to pray about that. We just have to leave it in God's hands. God's in control. We can't do anything about it. But then there are times when she said, you know, David, why don't you talk to so-and-so about this? Why don't you talk to so-and-so? When my brothers were alive, several times she said, why don't you call her? Talk to him about this. I wish he was alive today. The fact of the matter is, in communication, sometimes you do have to say, here's what's on my mind. And sometimes you have to ask the person, what is bothering you? Talk to me. Tell me what is happening. Tell me what's on your mind. Some men feel that this is unmanly, that I can handle my problems. I can take care of things. You know, I have to tell her, I have to tell my brother-in-law, I have to tell the guys at work that this is unmanly, and that's just not true. If it was true, then why did God say, bear one another's burdens? And again, I can only know your burdens if you tell me your burdens, if you tell me your troubles. So the whole idea of talking to one another and getting it out is wholly, completely scriptural. Now tonight we're going to continue our study of communication, especially in marriage. We're going to talk about the problems of communication, how to improve communication, and how to have a better marriage and better relationships through better communication. I hope and pray that you'll be here tonight. We're going to sing our invitation song now. If you've not obeyed the gospel, it's very, very simple in the Bible. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Peter told people, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. In Acts chapter 8, before a man was baptized, they asked him just one question. Bill Bastard, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If you have believed in Christ, if you have repented of your sins, and you are ready to be baptized, I'm going to ask you one question. That is, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I'm not going to ask you anything else. I'm not going to ask you, have you read the Bible? I'm not going to ask you, you know, what's happened in your life? I'm not going to ask anything else. I'm going to ask you one question. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If you believe he's the Son of God, then you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. Maybe as a child of God, you realize I just haven't been right. I just really haven't been living the Christian life. I need to start over. If you want to repent and confess things today, if you want to pray for forgiveness, we'll do that with you. Maybe you just need a prayer for a particular need in your life or somebody else's life, whatever it might be. However we can help you. We invite you to come. We encourage you to come. We want you to come while we stand here.